Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation.
I don't know about you, but when you first meet someone for the first time, the thing that you usually ask them is, what's your name? And then you might want to sort of find out a few more things about them, like what do you do or where do you come from or those sorts of things. But that's what you usually ask. Or it might be that you see someone and from the way they look, from the way they act, you might start to form an opinion about what they're like. Or it might be that other people say to you, oh, mention such and such, and you don't really know who they're like, but from what other people have said to you, it starts to form that opinion of what that person is like in real life. And the thing is, that's true of God. You see, if I was to ask a number of people what they thought of God, they'd tell me all sorts of different answers. On the whole, it'd be related to maybe where they've been brought up, the country that they've been brought up in, their parents maybe, their race, their nationality, their church experience, their background. Many people might not even say they believe in God, but I'm presuming the majority of us do here. So the important question to ask is, well, if there is a God, what is that God actually like? What is God like? You know, is God a he? Is he cruel or kind? Is he close by or far off? Is he strict or laid back? Does he vote Conservative or Labour or Green Party? You know, is he good or does he inspire hate? Now, who is God is a massive question. And how we actually answer that question will no doubt define our lives. A.W. Tozer, who was a 20th century writer, said this. He said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing to us. See, is that true? Is it more important than our gender, our family, our background? See, the reality is that we become like what we worship. And what we think about God will shape our destiny in life. You see, if we think that God is a homophobic racist and mad at the world all the time, that'll shape us into a religious bigot who's homophobic and racist and mad at the world. Or if we view God as some sort of airy-fairy life coach, that will shape our lives into being some sort of self-help guru. You see, what we think about God really matters. But the problem is that often our view of God is that God looks an awful lot like us. There's an old saying that goes, God created man in his own image, and man being a gentleman returned the favour. You see, I think we're all guilty of times of making God to be a lot like us. There's a professor in America who taught theology. And what he did at the start of each year was that he gave his students a sort of questionnaire to fill out about themselves, about their likes and dislikes. And then what he did after he'd given it out to them is he gave them exactly the same questionnaire about Jesus with the same questions. And what he found was that 90% of the time the answers were identical in each test. You see, a good test to know if we've created God in our own image is that God agrees with us on everything. He doesn't like the people we like. He votes the same way that we do. He's passionate about the same things that we're passionate about. And above all, he's tame. He's controllable. And of course, he's a figment of our imagination. You see, we like God to be controllable because ultimately we all want to be God in our own lives. You see, what we think about God is often wrong. So what is God actually like? How can we find out? And I think the amazing thing is that the writers of the Bible have written it for us to find out who God is like. But even then we get it wrong. Jesus will often be, you often hear him quoting saying, you have heard it said, but I say to you. So God speaks through his word, the Bible. And the Bible, first and foremost, is a story about God. You see, often we want to make it a story about us, about what self-help principles can I get out of it myself. But if we strip it back to its core, it's a story about God and how we relate to him. And this evening we're going to focus on this passage from the Old Testament. And this was a time before Jesus. And we're going to focus on a passage that relates to Moses. You might have seen the film The Prince of Egypt, maybe. Or you might have heard about the old burning bush stories and those sorts of things. And here we have God who's speaking to Moses. You see, Moses got to speak with God personally. He knew that God existed, but he wanted to know more about him. And so Moses said to God, "Will you reveal your glory to him? It's fine having his head knowledge, but I want to know it in my heart." And God says, "If you see my glory, that's going to be too much for you. You'd die. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you and I'm going to pass by. And as I do that, I'm going to reveal to you what my name is." And that's what he says in this passage that Mark read out for us. The Lord, I'm just reading from the New Testament, from the NIV version. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents, the third and fourth generation. I've just done a series on this in my own church over 6 weeks. And unfortunately, I won't be going into every part of the passage. And I know people read that passage and go, "Oh, I like the start of it, but I'm not quite sure about that last sentence. What was that all about?" I won't be touching on that this evening, so I apologise. But it sounds bad, but it is actually all good stuff. And some of this teaching I'm doing is based on a book I've read called God Has a Name by a guy called John Mark Comer. So if you want to find out what that passage is about and the last bit, I would recommend buying that book. It's an amazing book. Like I say, God Has a Name by John Mark Comer. But this passage here in the Bible is one of the few places where God actually describes, in the Old Testament, where God describes what he's like. It's like his press release to the world. This is who I'm like. There's a guy called John Salehammer, who's an Old Testament scholar. And he said that this passage is actually the most quoted passage in the Bible by the Bible. So if it is, then we need to learn about it. We need to find out what is it telling us about it. You see, time and time again, this passage is quoted in the Psalms and all over the place. Now, if I was going to describe who God is, I might describe him as being all-powerful or all-knowing. That's where I might start off. But what we find here is that God starts it off differently, and he starts with his name and his character. And you see, this is why this passage is such a breath of fresh air. Yeah. And as we read it, it's better than we can imagine. You see, God has a name, and it's not God, believe it or not, it's Yahweh. Amen. You see, back in the time of the New Testament, names meant a lot more than they do now to us. Names had a meaning. They told us about the person. You might have heard about the story of Abraham, whose name became Abraham, because it means father of the nations. Names had a significance to them. And so when God says to Moses, "I'm going to reveal my name to you," it's a big moment. He is going to reveal to Moses who he is, what makes God, God. Yahweh is how it's translated in the Hebrew. It says, instead of the Lord, it's Yahweh, Yahweh. And Yahweh means, "I am who I am." Or another way of saying it is, whatever I am, I will be. So for example, if God is gracious, then God is gracious all of the time. If he's slow to anger, he's slow to anger all of the time. Now, bear with me for a second. Like I say, I've skipped a bit, sorry. In English, we've translated God's name, the Lord, into the Lord. In the Hebrew language, like I say, it would have been Yahweh. Yahweh is God's name. But one of the Ten Commandments was that you shouldn't take the Lord's name in vain. So the Israelites were so caught up in not doing that that they didn't want to take the Lord's name in vain, that they moved away from using Yahweh and started using Adonai, which means the Lord. And that's why, as we read it, that's how it's translated. But the Lord, I suppose, is a bit like a title. You see, it isn't a name. You see, it's something like a doctor or a judge. See, calling God Lord is actually a bit like me calling Hannah the wife, which I actually do sometimes from time to time. But it's a bit strange in one sense because I have a personal relationship with it. It doesn't convey a meaning of intimacy. See, what we call people often says a lot about our relationship with them. To Hannah, I'm often darling or love. But to my doctor's receptionist, I'm Mr. Ilsley. You know, to my kids, I'm dad. But I used to be a teacher. To those kids, I was sir. I'm also a brother, a friend, an uncle, a pastor, hey you. And my least favourite, Timothy, because I was just called Tim on my birth certificate. And I really hate it when people call me Timothy. But each of these names communicates my relationship with all these different people. And in the same way, I think sometimes God wants to be called by his name and not always his title. Yahweh, Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God. You see, if we often think about God and Jesus, sometimes we can have this image of God being this distant father, someone who's sitting upon his cloud, who's often angry and annoyed with us. Now, a picture of Jesus is of this, you know, sort of lovely, loving, caring man who came to show us, as we had the word Emmanuel, God with us. You know, we can often have this different view, but actually that's totally wrong. And actually, when we think about calling God Yahweh, it helps us to recognise that God is a personal God. He wants to be known by us. That he's compassionate and gracious, he's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. You see, when I was thinking about this, it got me reflecting a lot about my own relationship with God. You see, 90% of the time, I'll start my prayers with Dear Lord. I've been brought up in the church, and that was how I was taught to pray. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Don't hear me at all. There's nothing wrong in that. But sometimes it's almost like I'm writing God a letter, Dear Lord. And automatically it's putting that distance between me and him. It conjures up in my mind a God who is sat on a cloud somewhere. And don't get me wrong, we still need to use the word Lord. That's still a part of who he is. He's almighty, he's powerful, he's holy. And he judges us. We don't want to make him out to be this sort of cuddly, fluffy bunny of a God. That is not who he is. There are times where I need to pray, Dear Lord. But I also need to understand that God is a God of relationship. And he wants a relationship with me. And he wants it to be personal. See, Jesus takes this personification further with God. Jesus calls God Abba. And in a letter to Paul, who was an apostle, he wrote this to the Roman church. He said in chapter 8 of Romans, it says, "The spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." For those people who don't know, Abba translates to daddy. The most intimate name you can call him. See, God has a name, it's Yahweh. But he also wants us to refer to him as Daddy, because that's who he is. So I started to try and put this into practice. And rather than praying, Dear Lord, I started off with Daddy. And boy, was it weird. It just didn't fit right. I can't start off my prayers with that. It was really hard. But it started to communicate something a bit more personal between me and him. Now, I recognise that there'll be people here who have great relationships with their dads, but there are also people who haven't had that at all, who might not even know their dad. But God is the best dad ever. Because he's gracious and compassionate, he's slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. That is our dad, our daddy. Ewan and Martha, who I mentioned earlier, my children, have now grown up a bit, so they've transitioned out from calling me daddy to dad. And you know what? Sometimes I really miss that, because it was that intimacy that that name conveyed to me. I know as a father, that may be sometimes how God feels. You might be here maybe for the first time, or you might not know what you think about Jesus, about who God is. But I want to say to you this evening that God is a relational God. He wants to have a relationship with you so intimate as a parent does with a child, so that you can call him daddy. You know, he came down in the person of Jesus. He died on the cross for us, taking away all our sin, all the wrong stuff that we do, so we could have that relationship with him, the maker of the world. That's pretty amazing. So God has a name, Yahweh, Yahweh. He's a relational being. He's not an impersonal energy force. He wants to be known, and he wants us to know him. But knowing God isn't just about knowing facts about him. It's about stepping in to having a personal relationship with him. And sometimes that sounds a bit twee. I have this personal relationship with God. But when we think about it, it's such an explosive idea that the God of the universe, who set the stars and the planets in place, wants to know us intimately. So what? So what? Why does any of this matter? That's what I often ask myself when I'm doing a talk. Well, that's fine. You know, God has a name. We can know him personally. But what is the point? Why is that important? Well, going back to the start, I think what we think about God shapes our lives. You know, if we think that God is mad at us all the time, we're not going to want to spend any time with him, because we're going to be in fear of being told off all the time. But if we understand that God is a personal God who wants to relate to us, that we can call him daddy, that he longs to be known and wants us to know us, then that encourages us to press into his presence, to spend time to him, and in that he'll reveal himself more to us. This year, my prayer, my hope for my church, my hope for you guys as a church, my hope for this town, is that each one of us would know him more. That each one of us would be inspired to press into his presence more as we understand truly who he is. That we'd want to do it not in a position, or not out of a position of duty. I feel like I have to do that. But out of love and relationship, that we truly grasp that God is our Father. You see, spending time with God, spending time with Jesus, isn't always an easy thing. I know I've been a Christian for many years. I know that many of you here have been a Christian a lot longer than I have. But at times, it's tough. At times it feels heavy going, that we think, what's going on? There's times and seasons in our life where we feel like God's not speaking to us. We read our Bible and nothing's popping out the page. We sit there in silence and we can't hear anything. But my encouragement to us all this evening is that we press in, because we know that God is desperate to meet with us. He's longing to have a personal relationship with us. He's longing to go deeper. For each and every one of us here, we're not done yet. Whether we're 5 years old, whether we're 90 years old, there's so much more for us to learn and to grasp about who he is. He's a God who wants to be known. Yahweh, Yahweh. The compassionate and gracious God. Slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. That is the God who we worship. And he's not just like that in the past. He's like that now, today. Martha, my daughter, started a new gymnastics class recently. And she came back saying that she couldn't do a backbend, whatever one of those is. I won't demonstrate now. Don't worry, I couldn't even do one. I'm the world's least flexible person in the world. But she got really frustrated that she couldn't do this backbend. And I said to her, look, Martha, I know that you're desperate to do it, but what you're going to need to do is practice. As you do it, then it'll become easier. You know, as we press in to spending time with Jesus, things become easier. You know, I want to learn how to play the guitar, but I can't just pick it up and play it straight away. Our relationship with Jesus comes from spending time with him. And you know, as I spend more time with God, with Jesus, the more I'm aware that I don't know him that well. And there's so much more to learn about him. So my encouragement to each and every one of us this evening is, will we press in more? Will we spend time at the feet of our Father, at the feet of Yahweh, trying to figure him out more, trying to understand what he's like, to press in to his word.
Amen.
And then to take that and to put into practice, to be who God is to the people out there in Mansfield. You know, it's great reading about this. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God. That's who he wants us to be. He wants us to be like him so that we can go out into Mansfield, into the places we work, into the schools we teach in, into the jobs we're in, into the homes we're in, and to mirror who he is, to be his ambassadors, to be kind and compassionate to those people, to be long-suffering, to show forgiveness to people. That's what God is calling us to do today.